Good morning. I would like to attempt to transport you mentally from a winter day, Eau Claire, Wisconsin, 2017, to, let's say, a spring day on a Galilean hilltop, 26 AD. Imagine yourself as one of Jesus' followers, right there with him, hearing his voice, having a front row seat, as it were, in this well-known discourse, what we call the Sermon on the Mount. The Apostle Matthew reports, "And so it was, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes." The people could tell just by listening. Jesus had a special way of grabbing their attention, making his point with sincerity, conviction, a truly uncanny accuracy, it probably seemed, to tell them about the human condition and their spiritual needs. There was something about his message that no one else could duplicate. It wasn't charisma. It probably had nothing to do with a polished style of public speaking. No, think of what the Apostle Matthew said. It was the authority, as if God himself was talking to them, which of course he was. In the person of Jesus on this earth during his ministry, the Lord God spoke on earth to a live audience nearly 2,000 years ago. You'd think that the people of Israel might be dialed into that, dropping what they were doing and coming to hear what their God had to say. But a closer inspection of the gospel record reveals a constant problem that Jesus had to face, not just with many of his countrymen, his neighbors in Nazareth, some of his own family members. They were more than skeptical. They had, at some point or another, or perhaps even permanently, rejected him. The Jewish leaders were the worst. They had dared to contradict their Lord and Savior several times, mainly because of what he said to them. Thankfully, today, God has worked in you and me a better reaction to Jesus. God has given us hearts of faith, which tune in to our Savior's voice, which accept his words as divine truth, and cling to those words as the hope of eternal life. By faith, we welcome his leadership from heaven. We accept his divine authority into our lives. We know the score between us and him. More than a leader, he is our king forever, and we are his subjects. He is the good shepherd, and we are his sheep. We actually depend on that kind of relationship between us and him because of what it does for us. And for you and me today, as it was for people back then, it centers on the word of our Lord. When Jesus speaks, it's just the right truth at just the right time. To the people back then, he said more than facts about their situation. He revealed their spiritual reality, and often the truth was hard to take, yet always spoken in love and just what the person needed to hear. So it is today. With a layer between us and him, he doesn't appear in person, but he does send the pastor, the teacher of God's word. Regardless of the arrangement, it is nonetheless Jesus working with us, dealing with us on the basis of two great Bible truths. We know them by the terms law and gospel. when the Lord reminds us of the commands that we have not kept, there's a point to it. He gets us to realize that in spite of our Christianity, we still have a problem with sin. We still deserve God's condemnation. Well, that hard truth to take is followed by another, quite different. The word of His grace, His plan, and success in overcoming our problem, taking our sin away. With both kinds of divine truth, think of it as Jesus teaching us, correcting and comforting us, leading His people, while making His word both the power of truth and the power of life. Jesus said in John 8:51, "Most assuredly I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death." Think about that. That's quite a claim, which we need to understand properly. He is not saying that you won't experience physical death. Rather, it's eternal death. Separation from God in hell that will not happen, Jesus says, to the person who keeps His word. Again, we need to understand, to keep His word does not mean to obey law, but rather to trust gospel. To keep it in here, in the heart, by faith. To keep His word then in this particular passage amounts to holding on to what He gives as a valuable treasure, trusting what He promises, clinging to that good news as the certainty of our salvation. Yes, it is good news that though our sins condemn us, He has taken all of them upon Himself, paid for all of them in our place, and removed them from God's sight with this result. Because of Jesus, God is now our Heavenly Father, treating you and me as His dear children, holding out to us the promised heavenly inheritance. Would you agree that is a most incredible truth, which many have rejected, including the people who heard it in person from Jesus on this earth? The only reason why you and I are those who keep His word is entirely because of the word. It's built-in power of the Spirit to convince and convert us and to lead us as His sheep who follow the Good Shepherd all the way home. Yes, by very incredible grace, we too fit this description, this passage of our Lord. "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Amen. Let us close our worship this morning with hymn 355, all stanzas, hymn 355.